Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Recorded in the history of mankind, in the writings of men, plus the Bible, of course, there often speaks of the subject of sin. What man might think of sin is of some concern to us all, but our interest must be, what does God's Word say on the subject? What does God say about sin? This is more important than what people might think about sin. I can recall the very first sermon I tried to preach was entitled, as our lesson is today, Sin and Its Consequences. Oh, that was quite a long time ago, over 67 years ago. There were only 8 people present when I tried to preach that lesson, but I felt like I was ready. And even now I have before me the outline that I used so many years ago. And one of the wonderful things that I can note about today compared to the many years ago, not one single point of truth has to be updated. Not since that very first time that it was preached, and it's been preached many times since then. But you see, friend, the Bible does not have to be updated. It's always up to date. It's always applicable and relevant. How different from the creeds and the manuals and the disciplines of men when men come together. They rearrange what they think they believe and what they're going to preach. But, dear friend, that's not the way it is with the Word of God. The truth is the same today, certainly as when the time when I first started to preach it. I remember the man, Brother J. Roy Vaughan. He helped me to prepare this lesson, and with a great deal of encouragement, I embarked upon a lifetime of preaching the gospel. I owe a great deal of thanks to Brother Vaughan. But now, what is sin? Now, many define sin as being nothing more than just, well, like a mistake. That is not of very great consequence. Or maybe it's just the use on an occasion of poor judgment on some particular matter. That's what they call sin. It's nothing worse than that. Some even contend that sin is just a relic from ancient times, and it's just superstitious. They're not concerned about it at all. In fact, to them, sin is not much worse than bad manners. In fact, bad manners often characterizes those who don't believe in sin. But I want us to know today, God's Word gives us some specific definitions of sin, and we need to understand what God thinks about sin and what he says of it. I turn now to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. There we learn that sin is a transgression of the law, reading from the King James Version. That means sin is lawlessness. It has reference to the violation of the law of God. Now, to transgress something means to cut across its boundaries, go beyond its limits, to lack authority for what you do, not having respect for the boundaries of God's law, and not to stay within what God has taught. That's what John calls sin. But John defines sin again in 1 John 5 in verse 11. He defines sin as unrighteousness. Now, the psalmist says that all unrighteousness is sin, or John says all unrighteousness is sin. And notice how this is such an opposite definition of righteousness. The psalmist said, God's will, God's law is righteousness, 119, 172 in the book of Psalms. So sin is doing the very opposite that's antagonistic to the commandments and the teachings of God. It's the doing of evil that's forbidden in the Word of God. That's unrighteousness. And even though people might think what they do doesn't really matter, in the eyes of God it matters. And it ought to matter to us. Because when we do that which violates the law of God, God says that's sin. And the inspired Apostle Paul has added another definition to sin in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, when he says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, the word faith sometimes has different meanings. Sometimes it's synonymous with just belief. Sometimes it refers to the faith of Jesus Christ. That's the religion of which he is the author, and which he brought from heaven to this earth. Well, here the word faith refers to one's personal conviction, what he believes to be right or wrong. And what Paul is telling us, that it's wrong to do what you believe to be wrong. Now, this does not saying that what you think is right necessarily is right, but it's wrong to do what you think is wrong. To do wrong when you think it's wrong is to be dishonest with yourself. It does not mean just because you think something is right that it's right. You could even be wrong to think something is wrong. But what a man thinks is not the standard for determining what is actually right and wrong before God. But the Word of God tells us what's right and wrong. But when we believe something to be right and we ignore it, when we believe something to be wrong and we go ahead and do it, whether it's right or wrong in the sight of God or not, it becomes wrong in the sight of God. You see, God's word is the standard. But to do what you believe is wrong, friend, is to violate your own conscience, is to transgress your own integrity. Paul says that's sin, and he wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We ought never do what we think is wrong, whether that thing is actually wrong or not. Surely we must be honest with our convictions. A person who's not true to his own convictions, he certainly won't be true to God. A person will do what he thinks is wrong, even when it's not wrong. He'll actually do what's wrong when he knows that it's wrong. But a fourth definition that we have of sin is found in the book of James. He defines sin as the neglect of doing good, good that you know you ought to do. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4 and verse 17. Now, like most other matters, sin can be classified, but it's not classified as the way sometimes people think of classifying sin. You know, some people talk about mortal sins and venial sins. Well, the Bible never classifies sin that way. That's some of the doctrines of men. That's altogether false. But some people speak of big sins and little sins. And I think what we probably mean by that is your sins are big sins and my sins are little sins. But the Bible doesn't know any such distinction as that. Now, to be sure, some sins cause more immediate and harmful consequences than others. Like maybe telling a lie is not as bad as murdering somebody. But friend, sin is sin, so we don't classify it that way. And neither is sin to be classified according to what provokes sin. And I want to suggest to you, the Bible teaches us at least three major classifications of sin. There are sins of ignorance. You know, people are often without knowledge that they are sinning. And that's because they don't know and they're ill informed about the will of God. People one time came to Jesus trying to ensnare him in his words, and he said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. That's the reason a lot of people sin. We're not talking about their intelligent quotient here. They're rational, intelligent people, but they're ignorant of the Word of God. Let me illustrate with something we can understand. A man driving his car 60 miles an hour through a 30-mile zone, he may not know he's in a 30-mile zone. This might explain what he's doing, but it doesn't excuse him. His was a violation of ignorance. And under the law of Moses, one was considered guilty even though he sinned ignorantly. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 5, if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he know it not, yet he is guilty and he shall bear his iniquity. The Apostle Paul said he persecuted the church ignorantly. This is because when he was persecuting the church, he thought he was serving God, but he was actually attacking God. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13, he said, though I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, howbeit I obtained mercy, notice, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He didn't know he was doing wrong, but he was. And this was the same man that later wrote, the times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It is said in Scripture that Christ was slain by men who did it ignorantly. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 17, the apostle said, and now, brethren, I know that in ignorance ye did it, as did your rulers. They didn't realize the full impact of what they were doing in crucifying the Son of God. These were Peter's words to his Jewish hearers. And even though they did not fully understand what they were doing, they were held accountable, and they were guilty for their sins. But there's another classification of sin. We may not be able to cover it right here, but it's sin due to weakness. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now we know we're all subject to temptation. It's not a sin to be tempted. The sin is yielding to temptation. But even Paul warned of this and said that he was vulnerable to sin, that he might be a castaway, in 2 Corinthians 9:27. One of the biggest mistakes a person, I suppose, that can make, to think that he's reached such a level of spiritual maturity that he can't be tempted, that he's so strong that he could never fall. The idea that you can't fall, friend, once you're saved, is a false doctrine of men. And that very attitude is a manifestation of weakness. The Apostle Peter wrote about the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Dear friend, the Lord said we're to pray, lead us not to temptation. And that's because we can be tempted through our weakness. Don't we have records of people who sinned in their weakness? Did not the Apostle Peter deny Christ in his weakness? Old people do things and then they'll say, well, I didn't intend to do that, and that may well be true. But our weakness will not allow us to escape the consequences of our sin. Whether we sin through ignorance or whether we sin through weakness, it's sin in the sight of God, and it has spiritual consequences for our soul. And we're going to look at another reason that people sin in our next lesson. We hope that you'll continue to study with us about sin and its consequences. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.